This week on Young Money Radio. You don't have to invent the next great technological breakthrough in order to have a great business success. You can take a basic product that is centuries old and build a company the old-fashioned way, with lots of hard work and some business smarts. And you don't have to have years of business experience either. It's your life right now. Welcome to Young Money Radio. Hello, everyone, and welcome. I'm Mike Sciano, and this week's show is made possible in part by the In Charge Education Foundation, publisher of Credit Booster, ultimate guide to a better credit score. Credit Booster unlocks the mysteries of your credit report and shows readers how to improve their credit scores. It's a must-read for anyone who cares about having a better credit score. Available online at creditbooster.com.
Young Money Radio.
This is Mike Sciano, and we're so glad to have you here. This week, we're talking business with Fraser Doherty. Now, Fraser is the recent winner of a prestigious Student Entrepreneur Award and appears in the current issue of Young Money magazine. He spoke to Young Money's managing editor, Daniel Jimenez.
Welcome to Young Money Radio. This is Daniel Jimenez with Young Money, and we had the pleasure of talking to Fraser Doherty today. Fraser is the winner of the Global Student Entrepreneur Awards. He is also the founder of Eat Super Limited, which he started as a teenager in Scotland. Fraser's company produces Super Jam, which has become a huge success in his native country and is also going into other countries as well now. And we have the pleasure of talking to him from Scotland today. Fraser, welcome to the show.
Hi there, how are you doing?
Doing fantastic. And really, your story is quite amazing. I really have been reading about you in the papers and how you took your grandmother's fruit jam recipe, and you started at 14 years old, if I'm correct.
Yeah, that's right.
And started making it right out of your parents' home, and now you have turned that into an incredibly successful business. But probably our listeners would like to hear your version of the story, how you got started with the idea, and how you managed to convince people to take you seriously at such a young age. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, it was quite a challenge, but it all just started out in a really small way one afternoon when my gran taught me how to make jam using her secret recipes, and I started doing it as a hobby, just making it in the kitchen at home and selling it to the neighbors and then at church fairs and farmers markets and to local delicatessens. And then it just sort of grew and grew by word of mouth over the course of a few years whilst I was still at school. And by the time I left school, I was working all day, every day in my parents' kitchen cooking jam. And at one point, I think I was making about 1,000 jars of jam a week from their tiny little kitchen. And I soon realized that I'd have to come up with some sort of big idea in order to move production into a commercial setting. And just after doing a lot of research, I discovered that sales of jam have actually been in decline for the past couple of decades. And that's mostly because jam's got a very unhealthy and old-fashioned image. So I just set myself the ambition of changing that by trying to come up with a way of making jam a bit more healthy and more fun and more appealing to a younger audience. So I developed a set of recipes where the jams are made entirely from fruit and fruit juice. They're all natural. And after about a year of development and managing to convince an ad agency to work with me on the labels and a factory to work with me to produce the jam, some of the big supermarkets in the country decided to take it on, and I now supply about 500 shops all across the UK, including Tesco, which is the biggest retailer one of the biggest retailers in the world. So it's just been a whirlwind journey, and it's continuing to grow and grow every day.
It's an incredible story, and I can only imagine some of the challenges that you've had to overcome, including sometimes you make mistakes, just like any young entrepreneur.
Yeah, of course.
And tell us about, in particular, I remember your first try at making labels and how you ended up with going a different route with how they look like today. Tell us a little bit about that.
Sure. Well, I thought, you know, I decided to call the jam Super Jam after the fruits that I use are sort of referred to as super fruits because they're very healthy, things like blueberries and cranberries. And so I felt that there was a link between super jam and superman, And so we've got the label designers to create the labels around a sort of comic book theme. And, you know, we sort of excitedly spoke of making a kind of superhero costume for me to wear at the launch of the jam. And I just sort of tried very hard to convince the supermarkets that it was a good idea and that people would like the novelty and understand the joke. But unfortunately, they didn't agree. And after about 6 months of kind of developing the packaging and the branding and the website and so on, that, you know, we couldn't convince the supermarkets to take it on. So we had to scrap the whole idea of the comic book theme. And we just came up with a much simpler, more straightforward design that just emphasizes the health benefits of the product rather than trying to kind of come up with an elaborate joke. But that was certainly one of the big challenges.
Well, now, as you're dealing in these negotiations with grocers, suppliers, I mean, they're speaking to a teenager at the time. Yeah. You're 15, 16, 17.
Yeah, exactly.
What was that like? I mean, were they having, was it an issue you had to overcome, the fact that you're so young and they're not used to dealing with somebody that young?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, trying to convince, one of the biggest jam manufacturers in the country to work with me to produce the jam was certainly very difficult at first. You know, I was just going along with a set of recipes and, you know, very little experience and no capital and just a sort of ambition to change the world of jam. And I kind of knocked on lots and lots of different doors and had a lot of doors slammed in my face by people who couldn't really see how I was going to make it work without any money or experience. But eventually managed to convince one factory to work with me. And they just thought, well, you know, we can see the appeal of the story. We can see that I'm very enthusiastic and that I'm putting everything I've got into trying to make this work. So they felt they might as well give it a shot. Similarly, trying to convince the supermarkets, it was, you know, they have very high standards on everything, and most of the people they deal with are experts in their field and have been working in the grocery industry for decades. But I had no experience. I didn't know what any of the terms that they were referring to. Any of the I didn't understand how the grocery industry worked. So the buyers had to be very patient with me and explain things out in detail to me as we went along. And thankfully, I managed to find very patient buyers who were willing to do that. And you know, obviously, everyone who gave me their patience benefited because it's been such a success.
Did you have a business mentor, or whether that was your father or someone else who knew the industry well?
Sure. Well, when it first started out, I didn't really. But as it grew, a couple of local entrepreneurs just read about what I was doing, and they felt, you know, that what I was trying to do reminded them of themselves when they were my age, and just got in touch. And you know, we went for a coffee every month, and I told them what I was trying to do, and they just explained things to me, and you know, told me stories from when they were setting up, and that was fantastic. And I really think any young entrepreneur out there trying to set up a business should definitely take full advantage of the experience that, you know, people who have already been there and done it have gained.
Now, I understand that you're also studying business and accountancy at the university right now. When did you start? I guess you had the company had already taken off by the time you started school.
I took a year out after I'd finished high school because I wasn't very sure what was going to happen, and I developed it, and then started university not really knowing whether or not it was going to be successful. And sort of midway through my first year at university, the products launched, and you know, I found myself going on TV and you know, kind of flying all over the place, and it just completely took off, and it was just amazing for all the other students to see happening. And after my first year, I then was sort of struggling to run the business and go to university every day. So the university said that I could take a year out and just kind of wait until everything calms down a little bit and get myself organized, and then I can go back whenever I feel ready.
Now, in 2007, exactly how many jars of jam did you produce?
I think we sold over 9 months in 2007, from March to December. We sold something like 250,000 jars of Super Jam, and the amount that we're selling each week is just growing and growing all the time. So, you know, how much we're going to sell in 2008, I'm not very sure, but you know, hopefully, sort of
Well, what are you?
A lot more than that, anyway.
Yeah, your projected revenues, and I guess that would be in pounds, I suppose. I heard something like close to a million pounds?
Yeah. I think sort of by the middle of this year, I'll have reached that kind of level of annual sales. It's just growing and growing all the time, and you know, it's working well in the supermarkets that we're supplying now, and so other supermarkets across the country and in other countries are starting to get in touch and say that, you know, if it's working in Tesco, why can't it work in, you know, another supermarket? So it's just growing and growing.
And also, all the media publicity has sort of made you a business celebrity of sorts. I understand that you were you had worked on a book called "How to Be a Teenage Millionaire."
Yeah, there's been all sorts of press coverage, and I got asked to write a chapter just for a little book. You know, kind of explaining my story and what I've learned from it for other young people. But there's been, you know, I've been on football chat shows and you know, business programs, and there's been a documentary made about my business, and you know, I'm going on TV programs 3 times this week. I'm going on a cookery show to make jam, and you know, it's just incredible how it's taking off. And I think the story has really captured people's imagination. It's such a simple story and one that everyone can relate to.
What about future plans? Are you thinking of just continuing to grow the company for several years, or are you thinking eventually you'll want to maybe sell and start something else? Any thoughts?
Well, there's certainly a huge amount that I want to do just within jam, and you know, the potential for international expansion is huge, and certainly the US is very appealing, and I'm starting to talk to some of the retailers over there, and you know, in a few other countries. Eventually, I'd like to develop, you know, apply what I've learned developing jam to other food products. So, you know, the next logical step is marmalade, and then, you know, who knows, peanut butter or that kind of thing, and just grow in that way over the next few years. And then, you know, who knows what I'll be doing in 10 years' time. But certainly, coming up with more and more ideas, because that's what I find satisfying, and that's what I want to spend my life doing.
One thing I meant to ask you about was about time management, because I assume with so many things going on at the same time, it must be very difficult with only a limited number of hours in the day.
Yeah.
How do you manage all that?
It's certainly a challenge, and I just have to try and do things quickly, and just, you know, cut out the things that aren't necessary to do, I guess. But I'm not very sure what the answer is, and I'm probably not the most organized person in the world. I don't think, you know, I think entrepreneurs often are quite chaotic in the way that they do things. And, you know, I just kind of find myself working long hours.
Did you come from an entrepreneurial family?
Not at all, no.
Not at all?
Okay. No. The family are, you know, my mum works for the local council. My dad, he's an electronic engineer, so they're certainly not entrepreneurs. And, you know, there aren't any in the family, as far as I know. And I think it's just some sort of spark that I was born with, where I, you know, especially when I was a child, I was always making things and selling things and trying to come up with ideas. And I just think it's a sort of creative skill that you're born with, in the same way that perhaps some people are, you know, born with a good voice, or to be, you know, a good singer or whatever. I think it's almost a sort of natural talent or a different way of looking at the world that people are born with.
So what is it that you're studying at the school now that you think will really help you with your business?
I think just, I'm studying accountancy. That's what I was studying at university. And I think that, you know, being able to kind of take your ideas and put them through a logical framework.
Now that you have won the Global Student Entrepreneur Award, exactly what has come of that? Some of the things that were offered as part of winning that award was counseling from EO members, entrepreneur organization members. So what has happened since you won the award in Chicago?
Yep. Well, I've been involved in a few events that EO have had. I went over to Berlin a couple of weeks ago to talk to some of the sponsors there and just share my story, and also talk to some of the German members. And I've met, you know, some really good contacts over there that hopefully will help me grow the business into other countries. And I'm in contact with quite a few of the people that I met at the actual awards.
Excellent.
The press coverage following the awards was amazing. I was on the biggest news show in China, the biggest newspaper in China. Newspapers all over Europe. The Wall Street Journal interviewed me. All kinds of things. So that was a huge benefit to the business.
Could you have possibly imagined this as you're making jam in your mom's kitchen?
No way. It's unbelievable just to kind of think the distance that it's come from. I went out with $5 and bought some fruit and sugar and made a few jars of jam and sold them to the neighbors, and that was where it all started. And then the neighbors thought it tasted great, and I made some more jars, and then kept making more and more jars until here it is now, and it's people in China are reading about it. It's incredible.
It is amazing. Well, Fraser, this is a great story, and I appreciate you sharing it with our readers and our listeners. Like I said, I will definitely make sure that you get copies of our publication, and hopefully great. People will come to our website and listen to an interview and learn about you and your great story. So,
thank you.
If you're ever in Florida, be sure to give us a call, because we'd love to meet up with you.
That'd be cool.
All right, Fraser, you take care then.
Great, you too.
Good
Thanks
luck.
Very much. Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Well, it seems, especially, I'm not sure about the market over there, but it seems like health foods have just taken off everywhere.
Absolutely.
It looks like. So you've really found a wonderful niche, and the product, everyone seems to love it. We just want to congratulate you on that and your incredible success. And we wish you continued success.
Thank you.
And hopefully we'll be hearing much more about you in years to come.
Yeah, hopefully.
Fraser, thank you again for joining Young Money
no
Radio. And we look forward to seeing you again in the future.
Great. Thanks, Rich.
You can read more about Fraser Doherty and his secret to business success at any age in the current issue of Young Money magazine. This edition of Young Money Radio was made possible by the In Charge Education Foundation and Young Money Magazine. Your continued corporate and personal support of our financial literacy mission for all young people is greatly appreciated. Sponsorships make the production of this program and the publication and distribution of Young Money Magazine on college campuses nationwide possible. To help lend your support, or if you have questions, comments, or suggestions, send an email to radio@youngmoney.com. This program is available for listening 24/7 at youngmoney.com. Young Money Magazine is a publication of the In Charge Education Foundation, a national nonprofit financial education organization. I'm Mike Sciano, and for everyone here at Young Money, thanks for listening and enjoy your life right now.